You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
A brand spanking new episode of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very, very blood-boiling top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
We're counting down the top five most annoying actors / actresses.
And we got surprisingly worked up about a few.
That's right. And there's a definite couple surprises on the list as well.
I know. They come from out of nowhere.
So, without any further ado, let's start the show.
Steve, and I finally did it.
What's that?
I have been wanting to do stand-up comedy for years.
All right.
I've been talking about it off and on, and every now and then, every year or so, I'll get really into it for a few weeks. I'll start writing material, but I won't do anything with it. I finally did it.
Congratulations.
I went up. It's at this show called The Blackout Diaries. It's a series of comics goes up and tells stories about partying too hard, just basically bad decisions. And I was the fourth comic. And Steve, I was up there for 15 minutes.
Wow.
15 minutes of killing it.
Wow.
Killed it.
15 minutes is a long time.
I didn't realize it was that long.
It's a long time.
I basically just wrote three mini stories with some connective tissue all about my first girlfriend. I know you've heard the stories.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that it was so long. Like, I wanted it to be around 10. It was around 15.
Well, when you have to break for applause so often.
I know. Please sit down, everybody, after every joke.
My God, this is the funniest man alive.
And it was really awesome. It was one of the best feelings I've had in years.
Wow. Congratulations, dude. That's great.
Because it was, when I thought about it afterwards, I realized that all of this training that I've had in acting and comedy and improv and even podcasting, being able to hold a mic and use a mic, like, really kind of helped me for this moment.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As opposed to Timmy, the guy that works in the mailroom, is like, I'm going to be a comic. Like, what is this thing in my hair?
How do you work this? Which end do you speak out
of? I'm frightened by your technologies.
But yeah, I rehearsed my material enough that it was polished and it was solid. Everything I did and said had a point. The energy was very specific, which was what I was going for. But I was still able to react to what the audience did or said. There was a moment when I said, I can't remember exactly what I said, but an audience member went, ooh, man. I was like, I see somebody knows where this is going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And after the show, both of the producers that were there came up to me separately, sought me out, and told me that I was the best comic of the night.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah. And they said I can come back anytime. The other comics came up to me. They didn't believe it was my first time doing stand-up comedy. And they were like, I can't wait to see what you do. Like I added a few on Facebook, got one of their numbers. Like, so this is something that I'm going to keep doing. So,
now, Wes, I'm glad you're riding high, buddy. That's fantastic. And I'm glad you had such an amazing feeling. Just want to be the dude that reminds you.
What?
That it's never going to be any different. Every time you do stand-up comedy, you are going to feel like you're having sex with Scarlett Johansson. It's going to be that good for everybody.
That's right, man. I can't wait.
And you can't lose. In fact, just keep doing the same exact thing forever.
4 years. What's cool to think about is that, so I have 15 minutes of audience testing material. There's a few things I'm going to tweak, but 15 minutes I just have in my back pocket.
Yeah.
Now, anything else I write just is added on to that. Like, I'll always have that 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's true.
It's cool.
That is cool.
Now, you you say it's always going to be like having sex with Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
I should be honest here.
I've had sex with Scarlett Johansson, and this was way better.
Way better. It wasn't my first time doing stand-up comedy.
So you're a liar.
I'm just a complete liar. I did stand-up comedy twice 12 years ago.
Oh, when you were a mere youth.
When I was a mere youth on the cusp of manhood.
You know what I hate? Girls. Oh, it's not true. I like them a lot. Oh, I'm lying.
My God, it's like you were there.
Oh, I saw it. It was amazing.
And I bombed so hard, I didn't do stand-up comedy again for 12 years. So I know what that feels like.
Man, I got to give it to you, man. I've done more than my share of improv in my day. I've been in shows and all that good stuff, but stand-up does really scare me. It really scares me.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, I know it. Man, because when it's a cold room.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's just you up there, dude. Mm-hmm. It's just you.
And I tell you what, that 15 minutes that I had, if it was a cold room, it would have lasted 7 minutes. I would have spoken so fast.
Oh, yeah. Or you'd be like, I'm done.
And thank you. My name is Lyle Muffinkiss.
See you in 12 years, assholes. That's great, dude.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. Like, obviously, I know it's not going to be that good every single time, but it was just a great way to start out.
And, sure.
I'm going to start doing some open mics around town, maybe find some other story-based stand-up shows.
Yeah. What about The Moth?
What is The Moth?
Do you know what The Moth is?
No, I don't.
Oh, The Moth is a podcast/national, essentially storytelling open mic competition.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you can check out the podcast, there's a bunch of, it's a bunch of stories. People get up and they tell stories, and oftentimes comical. And I think the way it works, I don't know the exact details, but it's like there's local moths, if you will, mm-hmm. and they choose a winner every time, I think. But then like as the year goes, it kind of goes into like I think like almost like a regional/national thing. I think there's like a national telling. I think there's a winner at the end. Mm-hmm. That's not the main crux of it. The main crux is just to have interesting stories being told amongst people. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like open mics. And I think you go and like you pull a number or something.
Okay.
And then so like everyone that's there potentially has a story and you don't know if you're going up or not. It's something like along those lines. Look it up a little bit. But it's that kind of thing. But there's a time limit on it as well. So
okay. I wrote it down, so I'm definitely gonna check that out.
So Wesley.
Yes.
Getting out of your life of glory and hilarity.
I do want to add out there, for those of you who have been too scared to do something that you really wanted to do, just effing do it. It took me 12 years to do it, and it was awesome when I finally did.
The more you know.
So anyway.
Did you happen to watch the premiere of Game of Thrones?
No, I didn't.
Okay. That's fine. This will be a spoiler-free quick little hitter here on Game of Thrones. Obviously, I know many, many, many people very excited about the return of Game of Thrones, of course, me being one of them. So my wife and I watched it last night, and I got to tell you, man, went by in a blur.
Was your TV blurry?
It was so blurry.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I got to get a new TV. This one from 88's not cutting it.
Uh-huh.
No, because it's, I mean, I haven't watched Game of Thrones in almost a year, you know, roughly, so, you know, since the last season ended. And I kept saying to myself over the last month, I'm like, I just want to watch maybe not the entire season again, but at least like a 10-minute refresher thing.
Sure.
And I didn't.
Ugh.
So when the episode starts, you know, picks up almost exactly where last season ends. And I'm like, oh, right. Okay. And then, you know, like cuts to, it cuts to Cersei. It cuts to Jamie. It cuts to anybody. And you're like, where the fuck were you? Like, why are you? Oh, right. Because that happened. Everything was just this, like, I had to stop and actively remember what the hell, like, it felt like I was like forcefully trying to get my car back on the road sort of thing. Mm-hmm. When I'm like, oh God, I've been stopped in this ditch for like a year. It's like, oh, I gotta go. Why? So I'm gonna watch the episode again. It's not a bad episode by any stretch. It was, you know, it's getting those gears going, you know.
Oh, of course. Like, who's that little guy? Like, yeah. Steve, that's It's Tyrion Lannister.
Don't I love him? Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
That's right. I love that guy.
Why is Arya? Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Where's Daenerys again?
Why is Cersei's hair so short?
What?
Oh, right.
Where's Robb Stark? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah, so it was basically an hour of thinking, why? Okay. And actually, there was one time where I had to pause it and be like, Holly, what happened with these dudes in the last episode? Because I honestly didn't remember. I was like, oh, God, I'm so old and dumb now. Oh, my God. But it made me feel better, too. My wife did not give me the, like, this happened, you idiot. She's like, I'm pretty sure it was this, and then I think that happened. I was like, good, you're not totally confident either.
No, I definitely read the Wikipedia article about the plot lines of last season.
Oh, okay, I thought you were about to say of episode one. I was like, Mr. Anti-Spoiler? Like, what are you doing?
No, are you kidding me?
Not only would you not watch a trailer, you just read the Wikipedia article?
Yeah, I don't like spoilers, so I go to Wikipedia for the episode synopsis. Because yeah. I know it's going to be inaccurate.
That is my favorite. That's my favorite way to consume television shows, reading the wiki report. But anyway, obviously, I know you're going to watch it. It's a good welcome back. It's a good episode.
Cool,
good episode.
Cool.
But yeah, I would definitely, if you're anything like me and you haven't watched it yet, I would definitely recommend either looking up a YouTube video or something that, you know, reading the little plot synopsis, just something to kind of, you know, freshen up the mind a little bit on it so you're not quite so lost when you get back in.
Sure, get those Game of Thrones gears a turning.
Get them
again.
Going. Just like the opening montage.
Yeah!
Smart, dude.
I didn't even try for that. It just happens.
You are the greatest stand-up comedian I've ever met.
I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, God, I'm sorry, Wes. I just threw my panties at you. I didn't.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know you were wearing panties.
I didn't mean to. I just had to.
So I closed a show last night. I'm not going to say too much about the show because I'm just not going to say too much about it. Let me give you just a couple of facts here. The show was written as a very dramatic drama. There's probably a better way to say that.
Nope.
I can't think of any.
Nope, that's the perfect way.
Yep, borderline on melodrama. Like, very dramatic. Fact number two, the audience laughed through the whole show. That's all I'll say.
Oh, so you did a production of The Room?
Yeah!
Because that's really what happened with The Room.
Oh my God, if this show could have like a midnight special with the callbacks and stuff, man, that'd be great.
Watched anything else this week? Played anything else this week?
No. No, well, I've started playing Dust and Elysian Tale, which is an indie Metroidvania game. I really recommend it. It's a fun game. And I started randomly playing... excuse me. Got a little congestion.
Oh, my.
I started playing Alice Madness Returns.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Isn't it good?
It's okay. It's
definitely the weirdest games.
I got it for $1 on sale.
I know, but I mean, there's just so many big-time games you've not played.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't it just piss you off?
It kind of does. I mean, I know it's your thing, and that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not.
Well, but
I'm lying. No, like where's your Batmans? Where's your Metal Gears? What? Where's your Fallouts? Where's your...
Steve, I played all the Batmans, except Arkham Knight.
Right, which you haven't played.
Well, I'm waiting for you to loan it to me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get it from Dan to give it to
exactly.
You. Exactly. I think I'm going to tell Dan tomorrow. But, hey, you know what? Your time, you've had months, you've done nothing. Passing it along. You're out.
That'd be awesome. And you're I will out. Play that once all you right. give it to me.
All right.
The Metal Gears. I've heard nothing but medium things about Metal Gear 5.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I know I've talked about it, but, like, it's worth playing, I think.
And we know why I haven't played Fallout yet.
Right.
Because I wouldn't. I'd be pale and malnourished.
Okay, well, Uncharted 4 is coming out in a few weeks.
You know what? You're going to be buying it, and if you...
You know what, Wes? You know what?
What, Steve?
Maybe you're going to buy this one. Bitch.
Well, I mean, you've already pre-ordered it, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, but... You know what, man? Actually, I'm really torn on this one, to be quite honest.
Why is that?
Because you know we love Uncharted.
Of course we do.
I think if, like, gun to my head, favorite video game series,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's top three. It's top three. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's my favorite of all time, but it's right there.
Well, what are the contenders?
I mean, Grand Theft Auto series would be up there because this is why I'm torn about Uncharted, because Grand Theft Auto, those games, there's more playability. You know, it's such an open world. Obviously, you can do so many different things. It obviously with a more linear storyline of something like an Uncharted, no matter how good it is, you beat it. You know, you play it from beginning to the end. And that is the game. Mm-hmm. Then you can go back and do collectibles or whatever you want, but you're playing the same game again, you know, obviously. So it's just like what happens, you know, when I pre-order a game like God of War 3 or something, you know, like that, where I love it, I play it, I beat it, then I go back and I beat it again. And then probably like in a year I'll go back and beat it again or something along those lines. But then I'm probably done with it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to loan it to friends and that sort of stuff. I'm like, I don't know, another $65.
See,
I know I'm going to buy it. I know I'm going to. Of course. But I think this may be the last one I do in the foreseeable future.
Sure, like the last new game you get.
I mean, at least until Christmas of this year, I would imagine, around there. Until, you know, whatever will be announced then, that, like, a new God of War or something. But
sure.
Yeah, there's only a few games a year I can bring myself to do it. And Uncharted will definitely be one, especially it's the end of the series. I know I'm going to.
Yeah.
But there's part of me where I'm like, man, I wish I could just pay like $20, mm-hmm. have it for like a digital download for like 2 weeks, mm-hmm. something like that, and then it'll come off my system or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be fine doing $20 for 2 weeks, and then it's out, and I'd be okay.
Why can't you just have patience and get it on sale for like $30 or something?
No.
Okay. See, we're at an impasse now.
No.
Okay.
When is it going on sale for $30?
6 months from now?
Bullshit. Not waiting.
What? See, this is why I am able to wait.
Dude, I cannot get 3 platties on all the Uncharted games, play through them minimum 3 times a piece. Uncharted 1, probably 6 or 7 times.
Jesus.
Uncharted 2, probably 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that this character that's one of my favorite in all of the video game world, it comes out a thief's end, and I'm going to wait 6 months so a bunch of assholes can spoil it for me? People are trying to spoil it online right now.
Well, you could just read the wiki article.
That's true.
You could.
And there's a concern because some of the Uncharted 4s were stolen in transit.
No.
Yes. So now they're worried that they're going to be these illegal, you know, like super illegal, super early, you know, versions of it popping up on Pirate Bay and whatever else.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and people posting videos of the entire game, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, there's too many dudes trying to ruin it already.
Sure.
I gots to get in there, man.
Okay.
I gots to get in and know it for myself.
Okay. See, I'm able to wait. Well, I still don't know who the Arkham Knight is.
You know what?
I've avoided that spoiler.
Fine. You're very strong, and you're very smart, Wes. You're very funny. Ooh.
Here in Five
Look
and Out Studios.
Look at you saving $30.
Here in Five and Out Studios, Steve just threw something for my dog to chase. I thought he was going to throw it at me. I actually, like, put my hand up, like, holy shit.
Hey, whoa, whoa.
Oh, whoa, whoa, hey. Things got serious here.
Wait a minute. Come on now, calm down.
But the reason why I got Alice Madness Returns, let's go back to this for a second.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah, you know.
Great.
The biggest game of the year.
The $1 purchase by Wes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
See, I could have gotten Alice Madness Returns 60 times, by the way.
Great. You know what? Let's do this. You can play Alice Madness whatever 60 fucking times. I'll play Uncharted 4 once. Let's guess who's going to be happier at the end of those $60. Let's just take a guess. Audience poll. Oh, instant feedback. Steve. Steve's a happy little boy.
Holy shit. I didn't even realize you installed that software.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Wow. Okay. No, I played the first game, Alice, when I was when I was young. And my mom, quote unquote, caught me playing it, and I got in trouble for playing it. So when I saw it on sale, the sequel on sale for $1, I was like, ha-ha! Take this, Mom!
I'm an adult!
Ha-ha!
As you press buy, you're like, oh, God, I hope she doesn't see me.
I get a text like, what? And then I start playing. I'm like, oh.
That's why your mom scolded you originally. Like, Wesley, Why are you playing such terrible games?
Like, I don't know, Mom.
That's not inappropriate. It's I know it's not inappropriate. It's just a bad game.
Like, oh, Mom, I'll show you. In 15 years, I'm going to play the sequel, which is an equally bad game.
I have no son.
All right. Our last week's top five was, what was our last week's top five? It was our top five high school loves lost. Goodbye, high school loves.
I told my wife what the top five was. She goes, oh.
I know. It was so sad.
And I was like, actually, Holly, it got a little emotional.
That's right. We were hugging each other, sniffling on each other's shoulders. But Nicodem writes in his top five. His number five is Home Alone.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It is still one of those Christmas classics, and I still like to watch it, but over the time, my view on it shifted completely. At first, you're young, and of course you are rooting for Kevin. But when you get older and think about it, you come to the conclusion that Kevin is a sociopath.
Sure is, man.
The guys just want to steal some stuff, and he is scouring them for life with the most brutal traps. And yeah, they could have easily have killed them.
Yeah.
Make some good points here.
Yeah, I mean, imagine being the parents and coming back like, oh my God, Kevin, you're alive. There were burglars. How did you survive? It's like, well, I shoved nails through their feet. I hit them in the face with paint cans. I burned their heads. I tarred and feathered them.
And now I'm wearing their skin.
Okay, Kevin.
Okay. Quick, call somebody. Somebody. His number four is Star Wars Episode I Pod Racer, the video game.
Oh, yeah.
Did you play this game?
Yeah.
Was it a fun game?
It's a Nintendo 64 game. It was a huge, buy with, you get it with a Nintendo 64.
Oh, my God. I think I played this game.
Yeah.
And I blocked it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just like Episode I.
Yep.
His number three is Baywatch.
Wait. That's, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I recently watched an episode with my wife not long ago.
Ooh.
And as soon as it came out, I was like, yeah, Baywatch, baby. And it started, I was like, oh, God.
Let me ask, how much slow motion running?
Not enough.
Oh, boy.
Not enough. You know they're redoing it, right?
What?
Yeah, they're rebooting Baywatch.
Because why?
Because The Rock. Because Zac Efron.
Oh, no.
Because the woman, the very attractive brunette woman that was in Los Angeles with The Rock.
Ooh.
Lisa Daddario or something like that. Her name.
Alexandra
Daddario. She's in it as well.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay.
And by the way, so here they released a still yesterday or whatever. I was perusing on Reddit and I saw it. So it's all of them running down the beach. You know, like there's six of them total. And The Rock is in the middle, and The Rock looks like The Rock, and Zac Efron next to him somehow looks even more jacked than The Rock.
What?
I know. I swear to God.
You realize The Rock is 8.5 feet tall, right?
I understand. He's 800 pounds of lean muscle.
That's right.
I understand.
Wow.
Zac Efron is cut out of his mind.
My God, man.
Actually, I'm going to call Zach Morris TV timeout. I'm pausing it up right now. You got to see it.
All right. Holy shit, dude.
Right?
He's come a long way since Gotta Get Your Head in the Game.
Right? Dude, if you were to tell me somebody is running next to The Rock on a beach shirtless, a male,
mm-hmm.
and looks better than The Rock, I'd be like, who is it? The Mountain? Like, you're telling me it's Zac Efron? No way. Dude is cut out of his mind.
You guys have to look this up. It looks like he has been carved out of a slab of granite.
It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
Good on you, Zac Efron. Not that you need my support, but you know what? Good on you, dude.
Stephen West from Five and Out say, hey, man, nice job.
Looking good, bud. Keep it up.
That's his number. Hey, let's stop drooling over Zac Efron.
Could you just stop looking at the photo of Zac Efron, perhaps?
I cannot, dude. I'm actually putting it as my phone wallpaper.
All right.
His number two is Hackers. I've never seen the movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hackers is, unfortunately, one of the most dated movies.
I think there's a musical adaptation going on in Chicago right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, be on the lookout for that. His number one is Lawnmower Man.
Another, yeah, it's tough because both those movies are so technology heavy for the time.
Sure.
That, yeah, it's tough. I think it might be, there's another movie that has Johnny Mnemonic, I think, where he says, like, he's like, I've got a gigabyte hard drive in my head.
You know,
it's like, oh, wow. You can open Windows. You know, like, yeah, it's tough. The dating of the technology of those couple of movies is really tough. I believe in hackers, as is appropriate for the time, they're using floppy disks.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, the 3.5-inch floppy disk. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. But Duncan Parker Newton gains writes in his top five. First of all, he says, hey guys, I totally agree with Steve on Spy. It was easily the funniest movie I watched in 2015.
It's surprisingly good.
It is also a movie that my fiance loved, and she is generally not a fan of comedies. So there you go, man.
Yeah.
Two more people agree with you.
I'm telling you, it's a decent watch.
I mean, that's three against one.
Hey, and remember, I gave you a good pitch last week.
That's right.
I gave you a good pitch on that.
That's right.
All right.
It was a nice slow ball at me.
That's right. Ready for you to hit it out of the park, Wes. Ooh. At least get yourself a nice double out of it.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's a home run. I'm saying you're going to have a comfortable double.
I like this metaphor.
Dude, the best thing baseball has given us is metaphors. Current baseball sucks to watch, but there is a baseball metaphor for, or I guess it's, or is it an analogy?
It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor? Okay.
Yeah.
There's always a baseball metaphor for whatever's going on.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Now you got me wondering, is it an analogy?
I think it's an analogy.
But an analogy is so hard to say.
An analogy.
An analogy. It's almost like
Alexander. She's an analogy. I just had a stroke.
But I can't even say his name. Duncan Parker Newton. His top five is, his number five is Def Jam, Fight for NY.
Oh, shit. Really?
As much fun as it was to throw Flava Flav in front of an oncoming train, the controls are very unresponsive today. It just doesn't hold up. I didn't even know what it was.
It's a game where it's a fighting game with rappers.
What?
Yeah.
This was made?
It absolutely was made.
Do you also remember
there was a 50 Cent shooter game? I think it was called like Blood in the Sand or something like that.
I do remember that one.
Yeah. Dude, if you were to tell me Duncan Parker Newton Gaines is going to be dropping that game on me at number five, I would have not believed you.
At number five.
Wow.
Well, his number four is Neon Genesis Evangelion. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Okay, he says, the original run of Evangelion, oh boy, I don't know, is still very interesting as a look into what happens as a man spirals into the depths of untreated depression, as the writer was suffering from it at the time. Unfortunately, aside from its use as a case study, the show was close to unwatchable, from the thoroughly unlikable main character to the final episodes that looked like they were drawn with crayons. Oof. Because they ran out of budget. It's a tough series to sit through, even for its cool, just monster robot fight scenes.
Ooh, I do like monster robot fight scenes.
Do you, Steve?
No.
I was going to say.
I like them in theory.
Yeah, but in practice, you're
nope.
Like, meh.
Nah.
Meh. I haven't heard of this man, but the basic premise sounds pretty cool, though.
I mean, sure.
You just said, yeah, I like that. And I challenge you on it.
Yeah, so
barely.
For once, I agree with you.
Oh,
but
okay.
Really, it's not even that part. I like that part.
Okay.
Watching a guy spiral into depression.
What's not fun about that?
That doesn't necessarily correlate with monster robot fight scene. Because I'll tell you what, whenever I'm feeling the blues, I don't necessarily get into a monster robot fight. But maybe that's why.
That makes one of us.
I mean, maybe that's my problem.
His number three is Final Fantasy VIII.
Eight, okay. Okay.
Yeah, eight.
Yep. All right.
I've heard very mediocre things about eight.
I've heard the opposite. People love eight.
Maybe I'm thinking about nine.
Maybe I'm thinking about nine.
Maybe I'm thinking about 13 too.
Because I'm pretty sure I bought eight. And, shit, is it nine? I don't remember.
Okay, eight's the one that came after seven.
Are you? And actually, you know what? That's not something that is actually true in the Final Fantasy world. This one is. Eight came after seven.
Okay.
But do you know the Japanese/American releases of like 1 through 3 like
was actually 4 through 6 or something like that?
3 in the U.S. isn't 3 from Japan. And
yeah,
blah blah
yeah.
blah. Yeah.
So. Okay. So, hey, we might agree with you, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Sure, maybe.
Maybe,
sure.
His number two is the Boondock Saints.
I don't think he's wrong.
Let's see what he says. When you are a 16 to 17-year-old male, Boondock Saints could be the perfect movie. Unfortunately, as you get older, the plot gets dumber and it stops being the kind of fun it used to be.
Yep.
I guess I haven't watched it since I was a 16 to 17-year-old male.
Spot on, dude. The last couple of years I watched it. I was like, dude, yeah! Boondock Saints! And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Like, of course there's the great, there was a firefight! Like, of course that part's great.
Yeah.
But, oh boy. The rest of that movie, besides a couple of really kick-ass gunfight scenes, sure does leave a few things to be desired.
Interesting. Okay.
You are not wrong, sir.
His number one, the Attitude Era of professional wrestling.
Whoa.
DPNG. He says, in the late 90s, early 2000s, everyone and their damn grandfather was a fan of wrestling. With the WWE now having all of their old footage up on their network, it is possible to go back and watch what many people consider the great period in the history of wrestling. Newsflash, the Attitude Era sucks. Many, many U's in that word.
Wow.
Like, not even a little bit. It is near unwatchable garbage, and I don't understand how the whole country decided this was the best time to be wrestling fans. Whoa.
Wow.
Wowzers.
Wow. That is, I almost feel like it's a personal challenge because I pretty much only watched wrestling at that time.
You know what? That right after that era is when I stopped watching wrestling.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I guess I need to go back, but
I'm not going to go back.
I mean, neither am I.
I enjoy those memories, and I don't feel the need to. I check in with wrestling essentially once a year.
Yeah.
It's right around WrestleMania.
Sure.
It is WrestleMania. That's when I check the temperature of what's happened in the world of wrestling and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, and Duncan Parker Newton Gaines, I'm curious to know if you think that the actual wrestling in the ring is poor at this time. Is it the storylines that you don't like? Because I got to think it's not the character, the players of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you're hating on The Rock and Stone Cold and Mankind, Undertaker, Triple H,
yeah.
DX. I don't know how you're hating on that because the characters are great. So is it technically, is it story-wise? What is it that you think sucks about this era?
I wonder if it was the acting because, I mean, The Rock has always been a charismatic as shit.
Right.
And, you know, we all know shit's very charismatic.
That's why I love taking poops.
Yeah, that's right. But when you watch Vince McMahon do anything, it's kind of painful.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
As I was brushing up on for this current WrestleMania, I watched a couple of Vince McMahon things. Like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, please.
You know what? He might make my list for this week.
Man. Terrible.
Which is a great segue. So, guys, thank you all so much for writing in. We love hearing what you guys have to say.
And, Mr. Duncan Parker Newton Gaines, I would love to know a little bit more in depth about the defense of your number one, because I just want to know. I want to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we have to move on to this week's top five. Steve, what is this week's top five?
Just like great old Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about the most annoying actors.
Oh, yeah. Like, when you see them on screen, you're like, ah, man, you know what? F this guy.
The way I kind of think about it is if I'm seeing a preview for a movie and, like, it's like, coming this summer, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, yeah, okay, okay, okay. Also featuring this guy. I'm like, ah, shit. God damn it.
This was interesting to me because it was kind of hard to find actors that I'm currently annoyed with. Because I used to be really annoyed with Will Ferrell, Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey. But, like, nowadays, I don't give a crap about them.
And you're very indifferent to them.
Exactly. And you were very adamant that it's like, no, no, it's people who annoy you.
Yes.
It's not people who you just don't care about.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch of people I don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be actively annoyed.
So, Steve, why don't you start us off with this week's top five?
Sure. I realized, this is a revelation for myself, is I realized that apparently what annoys me is actors, actresses that I used to like, and now I feel it has done a run of things that I don't like, mm-hmm. and now when I see them, I'm like, ugh. Like, it's almost more of a disgust thing.
Yeah,
sort
yeah.
of deal. Where I'm like, remember what you were? Do you remember what you were?
Yeah.
And now you're not! Like, that's really what most of my list has become.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me one shining moment and just a career of crap since. That's pretty much what annoys me, I've decided now.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I bumped him down. He should be higher on my list, but I feel like I've talked about him quite a bit as of late. So I bumped him down just for that, so I can go quickly through this. But you already said it. It's Adam Sandler.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam Sandler, and it's an easy pick. I'm throwing him in at number 5 because he's got to be said. I've said it ad nauseum over the last couple weeks for whatever reason. But Adam Sandler, phenomenal in our – phenomenal is really giving him way too much credit. Very memorable movies from our youth that were important to us at the time.
I wonder if we watched these said movies, I wonder if they would hold up.
There's too much nostalgia in them that – because I have watched it was Billy Madison not too long ago.
Okay.
And
like today?
It was at 11:30 this morning. I watched it. I was at work. And like, Steve, could you please? I'm like, hey.
Hold on.
Hey. He's the putt at the end of the movie. Just give it a second.
I'm wrapping up my daily Billy Madison ritual.
He's about to do the goddamn putt through the scaffolding. And come on. Please. But Adam Sandler has been crap for at least the last 10 years.
Oh, you don't say.
Newsflash. And so now, whenever I see him in anything, whether it is a preview for a movie, he's a late night show guest, whatever, I'm like, ugh, Adam Sandler, please, just fucking stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you stop? Or, like, do a punch drunk, like, try to be an actor again. Do just, like, God, stop, please.
Yeah.
And actually, I think I'm more annoyed with the people, like you and I, the layman, who keep spending money on all this shit.
Yeah.
Like, grown-ups made so much money.
It's ridiculous.
So much money. Like, who? Stop, please. Everybody, just leave him alone. He'll go away. It's like a mosquito bite or something. Like, if you stop scratching it, I swear to God, it'll just go away. Just leave it.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the X in it with your fingernail and you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, Adam Sandler, get out of here. And this is also I don't want to steal anything off your list, but it's Adam Sandler, sidebar, Adam Sandler's gang of dudes.
Okay, yeah.
Does that take anything on your list?
It might.
Okay.
It will.
Okay, I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there. So Adam Sandler's my 5.
Okay, fair enough. Have you seen the trailer for him and David Spade's new movie on Netflix?
No, because that's the exact shit I am talking about. Because he's one of Sandler's dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, which sucks, because David's, you know what, it makes all the sense in the world. It makes all the sense in the world. Fuck that. No. And I know. And I fucking know that somewhere in the future of my life, I'm going to watch that bullshit for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate myself preemptively for it.
Okay.
God damn it. I'm so annoyed.
See, my list, I immediately thought of a whole bunch of comedians that used to be funny. Kind of like what you were saying, that I thought used to be funny, but then just got annoying. Because there's nothing more annoying to me than someone who thinks they are funny and they're not funny. But they don't know that they're not funny. But I tried to mix it up a little bit, and I did that with my number 5. My number 5 is a surprise to me, but I realized John Travolta really annoys me.
That's a good pick.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about The People versus O.J. Simpson. The main reason why I haven't watched it is because I know John Travolta's in it.
Isn't Cuba Gooding Jr. in it too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he annoys me too.
Sure, sure.
This is an all-star cast of annoyance.
But it's like every time I see him do anything, I'm like, what are you doing? You're barely alive. You're like a machine wearing one of those Michael Myers masks with a terrible wig. get off the stage. And the his stupid like flub with Idina Menzel's name that
Adele
went,
Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem that went nuts. And the fact like, what? How? And he didn't. That was not a bit. He actually did that.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if I could, if there's ever been a career like John Travolta's that was, he was A-list number one dude late 70s. You know, it was Saturday Night Fever and Midnight Cowboy and whatever. Like, doing in Grease, like, the dude was on fire.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And he was a young, attractive guy that can sing and dance. Well, maybe not sing as well, but yeah. Can dance and act and whatever, do his thing. And then the 80s kind of did some stuff, whatever. And then got that huge resurgence, 94, Pulp Fiction, like, reinvigorated his career. Did some other mediocre movie, like Michael and Phenomenon. And
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just did a bunch. He just did so many movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what was it? Maybe, like...
Face Off era?
Yeah, then he went. Then he became, like, an action... Like, he didn't become an action dude until late 90s. So, like, reinvented himself... As action dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that tailed off. Then he was the mom in Hairspray.
Yeah,
and
that's
then it's
right.
Like, oh, so you're doing, you're like, it's almost back to 70s Travolta.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, you're like, now you're crazy, like, Scientology dude slash bump for Adele Dazeem. And
yeah.
Like, he just keeps getting these, like, these peaks that seem to make no sense.
Yeah. You know, do you remember that scene in Men in Black when that one character dies and the face comes open and it's that little alien in there? And he's
like,
I feel like that's what's happening with John Travolta right now, except he's one of those knockoff bodysuits. Like, he's not as good. He doesn't look quite as real.
Sure. Like, if right after he got off the stage for the Oscars, he did the other thing from Men in Black where he, like, tightened his face, like, pulled it back.
And then when they called the Adele Dazeem thing back the next year, he came on stage like, oh, my God, just get him off stage before he melts into a puddle of mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I understand your annoyance. That's a really good pick.
Thank you.
That's a very good
pick. Number five. I didn't realize how annoyed I was.
Yeah, it's fun, right? It's fun to release those Travolta demons.
I just want to – yeah, so that's my number five, John Travolta. Get out of here.
Make sure that next week when we are reading emails about – how annoyed people are, we need to read them in this kind of context. Like, and then he blah blah blah. It speeds, it gets short. We got to do that next week.
Fair enough. I want to point out that I got so annoyed that I ran out of breath, but I was determined to finish my annoyed sentence.
I will not let him beat me.
That's right.
Number four, Ashton Kutcher.
That's my number three.
Oh, hey, there we go.
What's going on, man?
There
how you doing?
Go. All right, so Ashton Kutcher. Again, we're in the world of. You did one thing I liked. Where have you been since? That 70s show, he's not even the best dude on there.
No, no.
I was never, I don't even remember his name in that 70s show. But I was like, he was not my favorite dude. He was fine. He was good. Mm-hmm. I liked him enough. And then all of a sudden, this dude starts getting things handed to him. Like, I liked the movie The Butterfly Effect back in, God, what, 05 or something?
Sure, sure.
If not early, I don't know. I remember that coming, like, okay, cool, that's fine. It was one of his first major roles, whatever. And then what do you do since then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And why are you still places that I see you? Why do I know anything? Like, why were you Steve Jobs in that shitty version, which I love that Ashton Kutcher does Steve Jobs. I was like, interesting.
Boy.
I mean, there's content, but it's not that well done. It's like, and Michael Fassbender's like, I'll do it and get nominated for an Oscar. Now that guy can act. Like, that was great. I love that that happened.
Sure.
But, like, he's, you know, I'm happy for him, I guess, that he is this, like, savvy investor in startups and stuff. Like, he's a huge backer in Uber and, like, good for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, great. I'm glad you bought another company and it's doing really well. Like, guess what? I don't like you or previously liked you because you bought Uber.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because you were a funny douchebag. And, like, now you're just a douchebag. You took Charlie Sheen's role in Two and a Half Men, and like in the stereotypical shitty show.
Yeah, yeah.
And you took the role of another dude. Like, it's not even your own character. You did that. You're in some bullshit show on Netflix. Like, it was, you know, when you go on Netflix, the first thing is like, the very first thing is
The
like,
Ranch.
Yeah, The Ranch. It's like, recommend, you know, like the thing Netflix is promoting today. You know, whatever. It says The Ranch, and it's really highly rated. I was like, oh, what is this? And I was like, oh, Sam Elliott. And someone else was like, oh, well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm interested. And it's like, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is that Ashton Kutcher?
And there,
fuck
and you,
this.
And you watch the trailer because you have no choice
because
it just, automatically plays. And Ashton Kutcher runs into the door because he's playing an idiot. What do you know?
Oh, boy.
What a stretch for this guy. No, I picked it for the same thing that you said. He just comes off to me as just kind of a bro-y douchebag.
Yeah.
And that's because of, well, it's again, he kind of just plays those characters. But even he was on Punk'd. He was on Two and a Half Men. Fucking Jobs. Now this... The Ranch, get out of here.
Can we just let him go?
Yeah.
Please?
Do you remember when they tried to give him movies and they were just bad?
Bad.
My Boss's Daughter?
No.
Almost gave me Lou Gehrig's disease. It was so bad. Like, just...
I just imagine Ashton Kutcher, like, reaching out of the television to you, like, here... Take this. Like, I know that's Lou Gehrig's disease. No, you're really going to like it. And you're like, well, maybe. Wait, no.
Wait, hold on.
No. Wait a minute, Ashton Kutcher, you fuck. I will not accept your gift of Lou Gehrig's disease.
Like, after I watched that movie, I looked like I had just seen that movie from The Ring. I was, like, all drained with my mouth hanging open. Like, it was just
Ashton
so
Kutcher
bad.
Sucks. Guy sucks.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's,
just go away, man.
That's why he was my number three.
Make billions doing whatever you want, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's
Get
good pick.
Out of my life.
Get out of my life.
God.
And I feel like he's not going to age very well, too. Like, he's going to pull a Tommy Lee Jones, where his face is just going to go into crags and valleys.
You've seen a young Tommy Lee Jones, right?
Does he just look the same?
No.
Oh.
Tommy Lee Jones, I think he played football for some college team.
Does he look like Zac Efron nowadays?
I mean, yeah, but he looks like 50s young man handsome. Like, he's not like cut like Zac Efron is now, but he's that more like, yeah, we were just strong. You know, like
Sure.
Zac Efron. God, I just got him on the mind. He's
I can't blame you.
Tommy Lee Jones, young man. You would want your daughter going out with Tommy Lee Jones. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm looking him up right now. I'm
telling you that right now.
Oh, yeah. He's not. There's a picture of him with his shirt hanging open.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy.
He's not, like, devastatingly handsome or anything like that.
But yeah.
He looks so much better than what old Tommy Lee Jones has become.
Yeah, he reminds me of, like, Nick Nolte. You remember when Nick Nolte was voted
sexiest man alive?
And then next year he was the ugliest man alive?
I mean... Good Lord. Talk about that. You know what? That should maybe be another top five. We need some time for research. But top five fallen off a cliff, like, looks. Nick Nolte is number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Number one. We'll come back to that in a few weeks.
Okay. So that was your number four.
Sure.
Yep. Okay.
Sure, if you say so.
Before I move on, we forgot to mention it up top. This top five was written in by TJ Bozart, so thank you for writing that in, TJ.
Thanks, TJ, for getting me all riled up yet again. To be fair, it could be nicest guys in Hollywood, and I'd still get all riled up.
Sure, sure. But I'm going to throw in an honorable mention, just a couple of stand-up comedians, Carlos Mencia and Pablo Francisco.
All right. I see. You're hating on the Latinos. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, that's really my main reason.
Finally. You are just like Bernie Sanders, not winning the Latino vote right now.
That's right. That's right. Ooh, very topical. Steve.
Thank you.
Carlos Mencia, for obvious reasons, because he's so famous for stealing jokes all the time. And Pablo Francisco, because he's such a one-note comic. His first stand-up special was so funny. Then his next stand-up special was the same goddamn thing.
Mm.
His next stand-up special, I didn't watch, because it was going to be the same goddamn thing. So that's just a couple stand-up comics that has fallen out of favor with me.
All right. I think you're going to be surprised by my number three.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders.
Damn it! Wait, hold on. Did we do this right? Hold on. I stole your number...
Yeah, you stole my number three, so I bumped
my
number four.
You're doing the bumper. You're doing the bumper. My number three. Hugh Jackman.
What?
I know.
Is it just because of Wolverine?
No.
Okay.
It's not just because of Wolverine.
Is it because he's just too handsome?
Honestly, part of it is a little bit of that.
He's too talented.
A little bit of that.
His dick is too big.
It is so big.
That's so big.
It annoys me. It hurts.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
Hugh Jackman is on my list because I'm tired of having to like Hugh Jackman, I think. He's so much.
Yeah.
This Hugh Jackman is so much. And so he's very talented. Yes. The Wolverine movies as a whole. Okay. He sings and he dances. We hear about his routine about how he films a movie during the day, then he spends 3 hours working out, and then he goes and does the Broadway show and this, and then he goes on to Oprah, and he's so excitable that he runs his face into a cliffside on this slider thing, and he's fine, he's bleeding, and no one cares, and like Hugh Jackman he's so likable all the time that he feels a little fake to me.
Mm-hmm.
That when he's on the late night talk shows, when he's doing the circuit, when he's whatever, I'm like, you cannot do as much as you do and be as energetic and as happy and as like tra-la-la as you are all the time, plus be Australian at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
That takes effort, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much. And okay, he is Wolverine. Point for him. Absolutely. He was good in Les Mis. Point for him. He hosted the Oscars. Point for him.
Sure.
Let's not forget the shitty Wolverine stuff.
Okay.
Let's not forget X-Men Origins Wolverine. Let's not forget the movie Pan.
That's right.
Let's not forget I feel like they try to stick Hugh Jackman in everything.
Let's not forget about movie 43.
Let's not forget about movie 43.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman is not untouchable. And I feel like we want to treat Hugh Jackman like he wants to be this, I don't know, the movie star of the 40s or 50s, whatever, where he sings and he dances, you know, this and whatever. And it's fine, man. I just feel like I've had too much Hugh.
Sure.
I've had too much. And
with familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah, that's really what this is.
Yeah.
And when I really look back on it, of things that Hugh Jackman, like, I loved Hugh Jackman in this thing. Like, nothing comes to mind right away.
Interesting.
I mean, there were times when he's a good Wolverine, for sure. There's times when he's not as good. Like, where do you put Van Helsing on that list?
Oh, my God.
Pretty sure that's pretty low.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty sure the movie Swordfish is pretty low.
Okay.
Pan, right there at the bottom.
And, shooting back to movie 43, I read this in an article a while ago. Peter Farrelly got all those other A-list stars to do it because Hugh Jackman did it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I do not hate Hugh Jackman, and I don't wish bad things for Hugh Jackman, but whenever I see him pop up in something, I'm like, ugh, could we not with the Hugh Jackman right now? Could we not, please? I'm Hugh, baby.
Muffin.
I want you to do well. Please do your thing. That's fine. I don't care how many more abs you added to the repertoire. Fine, dude. Do your thing. Just shut up about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Please, Hugh, stop.
You just want him to shut up.
I kind of do.
Go away. Take a sabbatical.
Yeah, I do.
Take your millions of dollars. Go on vacation back to Australia.
Yeah, I'm okay, Hugh. I'm done.
So you want to, Donald Trump's building the wall between U.S. and Mexico. You want to build a wall between U.S. and Australia?
See, I'm not willing to write off Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
I need a break from Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
And I want everyone to take, I want him to take a sabbatical is what I want.
Sure.
I want to come back with like his defining role that isn't Wolverine.
Ooh, maybe he gains a little bit of weight.
Sure.
Like he plays a portly salesman.
You know, and what I'd also like is I don't want like the super dark Wolverine. That's not what I want. I'll be fine with that, but I want a Hugh Jackman. No, I don't. I don't want a Hugh Jackman anything.
Okay.
I want Hugh Jackman just to hang out and like pop up in 10 years and be like, I've been doing community theater. Cool, Hugh. All right. Good check-in. See you later. Bye.
All right. See you. Bye.
That's it.
Okay. That's your number three.
Three. Hugh Jackman.
My number four that was bumped up to number three is Chevy Chase. He doesn't pop up much nowadays. He was in the recent Vacation movie, but he was in the show Community for most of its run. And it just gets painful because he's been doing the same shtick that he's been doing for years, but he's just been getting shittier at it the older he gets.
4 years.
4 years. He was in no doubt, I don't think anybody will argue with me on this. He was the worst part about Community every single episode. And his role in Vacation, I can't go back and watch some Vacation movies. Or, I'm sorry, I can't go back and watch the Vacation movies because he just pisses me off. Because he just does the same shit all the time. He's a one-note actor. And he was like the biggest guy. He was in Fletch, Caddyshack, all the Vacation films. And like now, every time I see him, he's like, portly. I'll be nice to say portly. He's
Man.
Balding.
You know what? Talking about falling off the fucking cliff of sexuality.
Yeah.
That dude did not age well.
Yeah. There is a famous story about Bill Murray and Chevy Chase got in a fight. And I can't remember what happened, but Bill Murray maybe punched him or shoved him or something. And he was pulled away. And he called Chevy Chase a medium talent. That medium talent has gone downhill to a poor talent. Maybe even a no talent. Every time I see him, I want him to go away.
Wow.
That's my number three.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have any thoughts on this at all?
Or? No, because honestly, I really only think of Chevy Chase for honestly like two movies.
Sure.
It's Vacation and Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
That is the world of Chevy Chase to me, really.
Yeah.
I know the other things. I didn't watch Community, and I've seen some of the Weekend Update stuff from, you know, Glory Days, SNL from the 70s, fine, but that's not important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Caddyshack, and, like, I just don't love Caddyshack. It wasn't as important to me as it is for a lot of other people, and, like, that's really my Chevy Chase is those two movies. So I'm not annoyed by Chevy Chase, because I only have him in those two, and I love those two.
Sure.
So I'm fine with it.
Sure.
He is an isolated meteor floating around my planet that I occasionally call, like, yes, good, you. I know exactly what you are.
This is also colored by all the reports I've heard from podcasts and stuff about how terrible he was to work with on Community.
Mm.
Like, he wouldn't even try a lot of times. There was a Community joke where they had a space astronaut episode where the joke was that the whole cast is walking in slow motion. But they were walking in real time, but they were just walking in slow motion. Chevy Chase didn't get the joke, so he didn't do it because he just didn't get it. So they had to rewrite like the punchline of that because he didn't want to do it.
Lame.
Like, he just pulled that shit a lot.
Lame.
So yeah.
Not the Danny DeVito of Sonny. It is the other side. It's the Chevy Chase of Community.
Yes, that's the other side of the acting nickel.
That sucks.
That's a commonly used phrase, right?
That sucks. Actually, staying in the world of SNL.
Okay.
This is, I think, another surprise one.
Okay.
Whew, I feel like I'm going to get a little hate mail for this one, but you know what? I'm going to go with it anyway.
What's that?
Tina Fey. I know.
Hold on. I got to write you some hate mail.
Yep.
Okay.
Sacrilege.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Dear Steve, fuck.
The next word I believe is you. There you go.
Yep.
Sincerely.
With love.
There it is. Hugs and kisses.
XOXO
West. But Wes, you know what? I'm going to turn it on you real quick.
Okay.
Tell me things about Tina Fey, things that she's done, besides 30 Rock, that you love.
You see,
you really like.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, her Sarah Palin impression. I can't remember. I remember liking, this is years ago, I remember liking the movie Baby Mama.
Never seen it.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, that's about it.
I know she was involved in, I don't know if she was a co-writer or what, on Mean Girls, which is also phenomenal.
That's true.
So I'm not saying Tina Fey hasn't done really good things. And I'm not saying Tina Fey is not important to, if she's not potentially the most important woman in the world of comedy right now.
Yeah.
What annoys me about Tina at this point in my, because I just love, and I also think Tina Fey is, not that this is super important, but I also think she's a very, very attractive woman as well.
Didn't we both put her on our Nerd Girls to-do list?
Because the thing is, she's very attractive.
Yeah.
She's very smart.
Yes.
She is very funny. However, the reason she's on my annoyance list right now is that I don't want to watch anything that she is in.
Okay.
Like, was it Hotel Yankee Foxtrot or something like that?
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Whiskey,
thank you.
WTF, that's the...
Hotel Yankee Foxtrot is the Wilco album, which means nothing to you. That's okay.
Okay.
No desire to see that. No desire to see Sisters. No, like, I get tired of the, like, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, we're best friends and we're so funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I get it. And it's cool, I guess. I don't care.
Sure.
I don't care. It does not draw me to you. Like, Tina Fey has this, I don't know, kind of like, she's got the super good girl image and stuff, which I'm sure is warranted. And I see her on occasionally. I've actually made it a promise to myself now to not watch any more late night talk show stuff. Now that I do, like Jimmy Kimmel and Fallon, whatever. Now that I watched a lot of it, but I think it's so distasteful. Like, it's just so embarrassing. Yeah. That's like to. Like, hey, I'm Tina, or whoever it is. Like, we're just having fun, we're playing a game, and then, oh, by the way, watch my movie and this, whatever, and I don't know you at all. And like, it's just shitty. It's just shitty. I don't like it. And I feel like when she gets on those shows, it's shitty, and I want to love Tina Fey.
Sure.
And there are things about her that I really do like. Mm-hmm. But I'm annoyed, maybe I'm annoyed with myself that I should give her more slack than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to watch her movies, and now at this point, I feel like she is Tina Fey, the feminine force of comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to Tina Fey, a person who makes funny things.
Okay.
Sort of thing. Like, I don't like that she has become the face of female comedy and that sort of thing. It's like, I feel like it's not necessarily her fault, but she's become more than just the woman. And that, like, it annoys me that that's what it is.
I'm noticing a pattern here, Steve. You don't like it when people have success.
No, it's not that. It's not that. But what, I mean, what have you, I mean, like I said, it's, I feel like you hit a peak, and then, because 30 Rock, I've not watched all of 30 Rock, but 30 Rock is really funny.
Yeah.
Great, and she did a great job. And she did a great job with the Sarah Palin impression, which was before 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And she was. There were definitely great moments of SNL, no doubt. She is a funny person. She went to I.O., where, you know, we've been. You know, she's a Chicago product in a lot of ways. Like, a lot of things to love about Tina Fey. But since then,
sure,
I've not felt the impetus to watch really anything she's done. And I keep seeing her at all these plays. I'm like, I just don't. Ah, she's the one I want to take a sabbatical and then come back strong.
Sure.
That's what I want.
She and Hugh Jackman should take a sabbatical together. Have children together.
My God, they'd be the most annoying child of all time. And their godfather is Adam Sandler.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, that's Tina Fey is my number two.
Okay.
Two back-to-back unpopular picks.
Ooh, man. You're going to get so much mail, Steve.
It's fine. Give me the mail. I want the mail.
My number two, I don't think you will even know who this person is. My number two is Ken Jeong.
I fucking hate Ken Jeong.
Thank you.
Will I not know who that is?
How do you know him besides the Hangover
Dude,
movies?
Dude, I'm the one that brought up Dr. Ken last week.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
A-hole?
Oh, you're right. I'm the a-hole here.
I know. Ken Jeong just popped up in another movie.
What?
It's like Ride Along 2 or something. Some bullshit where he's in the backseat of a car again.
Yeah. I hear that he's really great to work with, but he is one of the most annoying actors I have seen because he always plays the most annoying characters. And people are screaming, that's a joke. I don't have to like the joke. Those characters are annoying. They are not funny to me. Chang from Community, how the hell did he remain on Community for the entire run? Like, every time he came on Community, it ruined it for me.
Had I thought of Ken Jeong, I think maybe because I put a permanent block on him in my mind.
Sure.
Had I thought about him, my number one.
Yeah.
My number one.
Like, The Hangover, he plays a stereotypical, not stereotypical, like a really crazy Asian dude. And he just rides that train, I think, for every
with
movie that he's in.
Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's doing Dr. Ken, apparently. That show sucks. So
I don't know if there has ever been a show I have less desire to watch than Dr. Ken.
Yeah.
I really,
what?
I you can name a show, and it, as bad as the show is, it's going to be in contention with Dr. Ken.
It's so, like, I just, every time I see him, I don't want to see him.
Because he, like you said, he always plays annoying side character dude. Mm-hmm. And I don't like annoying side character dude.
Yeah. It's not, I don't find crazy annoying guys funny, you know, like his characters.
Especially when the guy plays, if you know, whatever, like T.J. Miller plays that dude, whatever, like, cool, he did it once, he does a bunch of, like, he's done other stuff, cool, it's fine, whatever, that's not his niche.
Yeah.
This is the one thing Ken Jeong does.
Yeah.
And it's, and then also,
sorry,
go please.
I was going to say, I realize what it is. It's because he's always over the top, and I feel like he's overacting.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That's what annoys me. That's what annoys me about all his side characters. Anyway, go on.
No, it's, I agree. And he's, I'm just going to, yeah. He annoys the shit out of me. Every time I see him, I'm like, ugh, no. What, could we not find some other unknown dude to play random over-the-top dude?
Yeah.
Like, could we not, is that so hard to fill?
Yeah.
Is Ken Jeong's talent so, like, so all-encompassing that we cannot find another guy to do it? Please. Please.
So that's my number two, man. Ken Jeong.
Can't wait for your number one.
Man.
Number one for me, speaking of Ride Along, we're going to talk about Kevin Hart right now.
Kevin Hart!
I went 1, 2, 3. Probably not great picks for other people.
Ooh, boy.
Let me tell you why Kevin Hart annoys me. Because Kevin Hart's first stand-up special is hilarious.
Okay.
It's so good. His second one is pretty good as well. And then the third one's really bad. And then this is when he becomes movie star, which is fine. That's how a lot of stand-up comics, that's the Eddie Murphy, you know, rise to success.
Ooh,
it's the
Eddie Murphy, that's a good pick.
Late 80s into the 90s, Eddie Murphy, that's that's top-notch, dude. Mm-hmm. That is top-notch. So Kevin Hart starts doing that. And but, you know, I'm going to turn it on you one more time. Give me something you like about Kevin Hart post first two stand-up specials.
You know what? I can't name anything because I don't. Right. I'm not familiar with his career.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Kevin. So even taking his movies out of, like, you take Ride Along and Ride Along 2 and a couple other films that he's been in, take those out. Kevin Hart always tries to steal the scene. Excuse me. Even in, like, when it's not a film, when it's not whatever the thing is he's doing, late night talk show, when they interviewed him at the Oscars, whatever it is he's doing, he always tries to steal it. And it's very obvious that he's doing, like, an attention grab. It's always eyes on me, eyes on me, eyes on me. And it is super annoying to me. Mm-hmm. That it's all just like me. He seems like such a selfish guy, a mm-hmm. selfish professional. And, like, it's not that the dude is not funny. He is. Like I said, the first two stand-ups are, honestly, the first one is, it may be potentially top five all-time for me stand-up special. Mm-hmm. Top 10, it's hilarious. It's awesome. But I feel like he's lost some of that, like, I don't know, some of the grounding that he had as a person. I feel like he's now just bought into the idea of Kevin Hart the movie star sort of thing, as opposed to I'm Kevin Hart and I do this kind of stuff. And, like, it sounds really shit. Like, it makes me, when I say this about Kevin Hart, it specifically, it makes me feel kind of shitty because I'm like, I'm passing judgments on the dude, like, as a person. And I obviously don't know him as a person. I only sure. know these few little snippets that the media portrays him to me to be,
mm-hmm.
which in many ways is unfair. But you know what? I don't care because that's the game we're playing right now.
Sure.
And the dude does not seem humble. The dude does not take films and things that I want to see. The guy is annoying in interviews. It's very self-centered. It's just not something I want to partake in, is okay. the Kevin Hart thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, dude has a ton of talent. He's very, very funny, and there's no doubt about it. But I don't like him as a dude.
Sure.
So, I find his presence annoying now.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, Kevin Hart. I feel like you are probably a good person. I hope you're a good person.
See, that's why I'm not, like, jumping on this bandwagon here. I don't know if one person can constitute a bandwagon, but because he just seems like he's such a genuine guy from the little that I've seen of him.
See, and to me, I feel like it's my perception of what I have seen. It's because I don't call him like Kevin. You've really changed, dude. You know, like, it's not that.
Yeah.
My perception of him from this hardworking guy, you know, running the gamut as, you know, a stand-up comedian, gets this big HBO special and it really takes off in good form. That's fantastic. Since then, it's like, now I'm the dude with this, the big watch, and like, I'm like, it's, you know, and like, it's look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, and it just doesn't feel like it's the same dude that I really liked when he first started.
Sure.
That's all.
Okay.
Annoying to me.
That's okay, Steve. That's okay.
Again, see, a very common trend here. Hit a big spike with me early.
Yeah, yeah.
And never got that next rise.
Sure.
For me.
Okay.
So.
Well, my number one is a man by the name of Rob Ert Schneider.
Here we go.
See, and I'm not going to dogpile on this man. I don't know if one person can constitute a dogpile either. but why he annoys me so much. When we first started studying improv back in college, the one thing that was drilled into us is comedy comes from honesty. Like, there's a book called Truth in Comedy. It's all about that. Going back to Ken Jeong, he's not funny to me because he's way too over the top. Now, Rob Schneider is not funny to me because nothing he does comes from an honest place. It's like he's always faking it all the time. It's almost like he's underacting. I can always tell that he's just, this is a funny face. And a weird line. Like, for his, you can do it, Happy. Like,
All night long.
And, like, all of his starring roles where people tried to convince us that he can act as well. No, he's not a good actor.
No.
He's not a good comedian.
No.
I've tried watching his stand-up special. It's not funny because nothing he does, I feel, comes from an honest place. He's just on stage, just reciting lines, and it's not coming from anywhere. He's just reciting lines. And, like, I'm not going to lie. I did not try watching The Real Rob, which is on Netflix, because I watched the trailer, and it's the same shit. It's like this guy has never learned how to be funny. But everyone keeps telling us that he's funny.
And
he's not.
Because you say that, this is the reason Rob Schneider did not make this list for me, is because Rob Schneider has gone beyond the place of annoyance to me,
mm-hmm.
and to the point of sympathy to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I see Rob Schneider almost as a sympathetic character now, as a person, like, where I'm like, wow, dude, like, somehow over the last 20 or so years, you've made a career for yourself fooling the world that somehow you're funny. And like, and I feel like talking about a dog pile, like Rob Schneider gets it from all angles.
Yeah.
You know, like at this point, there's nothing you're going to say to Rob Schneider that is like he's not heard already. At this point, I'm like, you know what, Rob? You stay on as long as you can, buddy. Like,
yeah.
Good for you for making some money. And, you know, like, am I going to watch what you're in? Oh, God. No. God, no.
Yeah.
I will actively stay away from a project that you are involved in. No, because to me, that is an instant, that's signing it as if this is going to suck. Like,
yeah.
You can put it in the bank. Rob Schneider's in it. This shit sucks.
Yeah.
Done. Deposit, withdraw in a few days. Done. So, like, Rob Schneider to this point is like, you know what, man? You just keep doing what you do.
I honestly think, just thinking back on his acting roles, I think the best acting he's done might be in The Ridiculous Six.
Jesus Christ.
Can you think of a better acting role? Because he's just, his character is very low energy, and he's just walking through the part and reciting lines. But,
I mean, I feel like it's one of those things when you, if you talk about, like we talk about Adam Sandler, where at least in our mind, where like you, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, like, oh, like as a comedic role, am I, like that's a, he was in 86, you know,
yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to put it at. It's at least a moderately high score, 70 something, whatever. And then you'll see something like Ridiculous Six, like, God, I don't know, 17,
yeah.
7, I don't, so like, you've got this range. Rob Schneider, he never, maybe that's why he's not on my list, because he never had a spike.
No, no.
Rob Schneider's always been like, what would you rate Rob Schneider as a comedian? I don't know, 20?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking, like 24?
It's like when he
30,
has a
maybe?
When he has a really funny role, and like he's barely, like, fine, you're at 24.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, and then he really fucking sucks in Deuce Bigelow 2.
Yeah.
European Gigolo. It's like, fine, you're an 8.
Yeah.
It's like, fine, you gave me a swing of 15-ish, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Fine. Whatever, dude. I know the game Rob Schneider plays, and we're hovering around a 15.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Give or take 5 to 10, that's my Rob Schneider wavelength.
Sure,
so
sure.
I don't give a shit what Rob Schneider does. He's not going to break my heart. The only thing he can possibly do is surprise me that he's slightly better than anticipated. Like, honestly, when we watched Ridiculous Six, it was like Rob Schneider made me laugh one time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, hey, Rob Schneider, good for you.
Good on you, bud.
Good on you, dude. Like that's, I feel like this is going to sound horrific, but I feel like Rob Schneider is like a special, I can't do it.
No, you can't.
Nah, I can't. I feel like Rob Schneider is a dude you expect very little from, and then whenever you get anything above it, it is, it's just gravy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just gravy. Like, good for you, good for me, and we're out. Like,
you know what I just realized? We're talking about The Ridiculous Six. It's been so long since I watched it. We have to do the Netflix review, because if we wait any longer, we're going to have to rewatch it.
No.
So we got to do it.
Nope.
Steve, why don't you give me your top 5?
Adam Sandler and his cronies at 5. Number 4, Ashton Kutcher. Number 3, Hugh Jackman. Number 2, Tina Fey. Number 1, Kevin Hart.
My number 5 is John Travolta. Just out of nowhere. My number 4 is Chevy Chase. My number 3 is Ashton Kutcher. My number 2 is Ken Jeong. My number 1 is Rob the Poor Man Schneider.
Man, I got to tell you, if we had someone write in and give me a 1-2-3 of Kevin Hart, Tina Fey, Hugh Jackman, I'd say the dude's crazy.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's how I feel.
All right, man.
How I feel.
That's okay, man. You feel how you feel.
So we look forward to you guys writing in your top 5 most annoying actors / actresses. Because again, next week when we read them, we're going to read them like we read them. That's what you're going to get next week. So we look forward to hearing from you. And if you have any top 5s that you would like to hear us do in the future, by all means, please write those in as well. The one we just did this afternoon, that was written in by one of you guys as well. So,
yeah, so thank you, TJ Bozarth, again, for writing that in. Let's see. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com. Facebook and Twitter.
There's, I mean, right there.
Right there. As soon as we finish watching The Ridiculous Six again.
No. No. No.
But until then, everybody, thank you again for listening. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was five.
And we're out.